Session number 26579.
Mr. Clark, Reel 6. We're talking about your time with the 1st Battalion Cameronians when they were in Gibraltar. And you mentioned that you went to Spain. You were given permission, you'd mentioned earlier, to go to Spain.
Yep.
Can you tell us what the procedure was for going to Spain and the visa and what you'd do when you got there?
What happened was this, that you'd apply for a visa through the commanding officer. All applications had to go through the adjutant, actually. And if you had had what they called a regimental entry, that was, in effect, if you had been in front of the commanding officer and been punished by the commanding officer within 6 months, you were refused your visa. If, when you did succeed in getting a visa, if you did then, once again, have occasionally got in front of the commanding officer for punishment, you lost your visa for 6 months. That's the bottom end of it, bottom line. Going over to Spain once again was a novelty for us chaps. There was lots of lovely bars there, little bars and brothels especially, which I will admit I never went into. And the big thing there was that we were told that if we were going over to Spain and we did want to have a woman, to go into the brothels, because these brothels were thoroughly scrutinised. The girls were inspected every week. But never to pick up anyone off the street. And funny enough, one or two of my chums who did do this, pick girls off the street, finished up with VD. Because some of these brothels, when a girl did catch VD, they were out in the rear. And there was no organisation to cure them. They were discarded, and that was it. But once again, it was something like Gibraltar. There wasn't much to do, really. It's a nice bar, so you could go and...
You weren't bothered about the brothel? You were too young, or just...
It didn't bother me, really. I was engaged to a girl back home at that time. So, you know, I would say, you might say, what? I was serving my love, kind of thing. But...
So what were the bars? Were the bars different? They were
vastly different from what you see in Spain today. They were... See, the thing about us, we were so used to this back home, pubs opening at 5 and closing at 9 in Scotland. But when we went to Gibraltar and saw that, and into La Linea and saw that you could drink till, say, 11:30, because we had to be back on the rock for midnight. But even this was a novelty, having these bar hours. So it was something we'd never been used to, you know? And funnily enough, it eventually cut down the drunkenness. Knowing that we could, especially on the rock as well. Weekends, pubs were open all day. And this cut down the drinking tremendously, like, you know? Guys know, well, we can get a drink any time. Whereas back in Scotland, you were drinking against the clock. And that was a bad thing. That did cause trouble. But I would say that the longer we went abroad, the less the drink-fueled trouble occurred, you know?
Now, what were the bars like? Were they very similar to the bars in Gibraltar?
They were very...
Or were they not?
There was a lot of them were... Similar to Jib in some ways, but different. Like, you know, there was more sort of the little covers on the table and things like this, all the little niceties that we'd never known in the bars that we used to drink in, like, you know. I would say that they were quite different from the bars and pubs that we were used to.
What would you drink? I mean, was it beer or
beer? I used to just drink beer. Couple of lagers. I didn't drink a lot, actually, because I was too busy keeping myself fit. You know, I played for the hockey team and the boxing team, and I was just quite happy keeping myself fit.
And any trouble with the Spanish? I mean, you know, you had trouble with the Navy and perhaps the Northumberland Fusiliers and the Royal Engineers.
Never any trouble with the Spaniards. I think the Spaniards just keep out of our way, like, you know, but we never pursued them, and vice versa. They were pursued us, like, you know. But I don't ever remember any trouble.
So you were you got on fairly with the Spanish civilians. You kept that, the ones you did meet, you know, the people serving you, things like that. Yeah, did you get on well with them?
Oh, very well, very well. Because after all, we were spending money there. And they were quite happy about this. They were quite happy to take our pesetas. And we were quite happy to drink their drinks, like, you know.
So what else went on at Gibraltar, I mean? Did you ever get in trouble? I mean, you know, you're quite a lively lad from the south.
Well, this was later on. We're still virtually Nook Camp yet. Not Nook Camp, Little Bay Camp.
Yeah.
Now, just before we left Little Bay Camp, I was sitting in the canteen, the company canteen, one night, and the colour sergeant we had was a terrific bloke. I forget his name now. Oh, Billy. Oh, I forget his name anyway. His first name was definitely Billy. And he, during the war, he'd been in India pre-war, and he fought in Burma. And I believe he got wounded, and he was sent back to India. Billy Fulton, F-U-L-T-O-N, Billy Fulton. Now Billy finished up with ENSA, you know, the entertainment outfit for the forces. He was a brilliant comedian and song and dance man. And I knew this, I'd found this out. And one night sitting in the canteen, he came in as orderly officer, asked us how well we were and that, like, you know. And there was about three of us sat there. So he said, would you like a beer? So he pulled a chair up and we had a beer. We got chatting. And I said, here, why can't you, you're an ex-entertainer, why can't you entertain get some auditions going in the battalion? I'm sure there's got to be talent here. And I said, give us shows, like, you know, say each company gets a show. He said, that's a good idea. I said, I never thought of that. And next thing I knew is that something battalion orders. Anyone who felt they had some kind of talent, either singing, dancing, or jokes, to report to Colour Sergeant Fulton. And to cut a long story short, it was amazing the talent that emerged.
Well, no, don't cut it short. Tell us a bit tell us a bit about some of the acts that you got.
Well, first of all, there was a Colour Sergeant in another company. His wife was a fantastic pianist. Absolutely brilliant pianist. There's another guy who emerged as a great country and western singer, playing the guitar. There was two or three other chaps came up, one guy especially, brilliant singer. And this is where it all came from. The talent did emerge. And it started off, Billy trained me to be a feed man, and he's to some of his comedy acts, but eventually I couldn't keep up with it because the guy was so brilliant, I just couldn't keep up with him. So I resigned after about a month. But what did happen was that he managed to form a proper battalion concert party, and it went round all the companies. And then the next thing, when the Northumberland Fusiliers and the Royal Engineers heard about this, they asked, would they come along and entertain their troops, which they did. And then the next thing that happened was they appeared at the Theatre Royal of Gibraltar. And the Governor of Gibraltar at the time, I forget his name now, Lieutenant General, in fact, he lost his son in Korea, Lieutenant General Anderson, General Anderson. He was the Governor of Gibraltar. And he attended one of the shows. It was only on for a week. And after he heard it, he said to the CO, get this thing put on for a month, and any money that you can get from it will go to the Army Benevolent Fund. And the concert party went on for a month.
Now, were you still involved in it at all?
No, I pulled out before we
completely.
Got
so
completely, yeah, because he got some other guy, I forget who it was now, who was really good, that could feed him properly, like, you know. And
but you didn't stay on the organising side
No, I just backed off, and I just went to as many of the shows because I thoroughly enjoyed it, you know. Jessie McFarlonen, that was a pianist, she was brilliant. And we had another pianist, one officer, Tough Leggett. He was an ex-bandsman, And then he left the band and became a company sergeant major. And shortly after the concert party disbanded, Beniamino Gigli, the great Italian tenor, came to the Rock. And what happened was, something happened to his pianist. He took ill or something, and was frantically searching the Rock for someone to take the pianist's place. And he held auditions, and this sergeant major, Tough Leggett, he got the job. And he spent a week accompanying Beniamino Gigli on the Rock. The CEO insisted that he'd gone with his uniform, his dress uniform, which Gigli didn't mind at all. And so really, the battalion was full of talent.
Now, why did it stop? You said it went after to disband it. Why did it disband?
Well, basically we were soldiers. It was as simple as that. This had been a great spell. The time it lasted, everyone enjoyed themselves. And it did a lot to boost the morale on the Rock as well, But then the CEO quite rightly said, right, that's it. You've got to come back and start soldiering, which was fair enough.
Now, what about the, you mentioned the canteens. What did the canteens offer for you? The
company canteens.
The company canteen,
yeah. They were very, very, very sparse. In fact, in some cases it was the company dining room. They just got the beer, because in those days we weren't allowed spirits. It was just beer and crisps and what have you. So the colour sergeant would set up the canteen in the dining room. And we just called it, say, go to the canteen, as opposed to going to the dining room, It was a dining room during the day and a canteen at night. And that was what the strength of it.
So what happened next then? What's the next thing you remember? Still at Little Bay Camp?
Yeah, well, our tour of duty finished at Little Bay Camp. And we were then moved, the companies all switched round then. And my company, C Company, we were then sent to Four Corners.
Now, when was that? You got there in February, late February.
Yeah, well, about 6 months later.
So around about August.
August. We then went to Four Corners.
That's another camp, obviously.
That was another camp. And that was right on the Spanish frontier. We were then responsible then for the supplying the guards on the frontier. Now, the thing was this, that we had come to the narrowest part of the Rock, where you had the East Beach and the West Beach. Now, that now today, present day, is a big runway that is used for civilian aircraft. But in those days, it was only a very small airfield used by the RAF, and one little civilian aircraft that used to fly from there over to Tangier. Now, our duties then was to man the frontier, patrol the frontier.
Now, what did that involve?
Now, it involved up where we were up on the East Beach, where our camp was. It was all a row of nursing huts, sergeant's mess, dining room, what have you. And right a few yards, as you come out your hut, that was the frontier wire. And we would patrol, our company was responsible for patrolling that every day. And also, at the other end, West Beach, we would send patrols down there, intermittent patrols, because there was quite a bit of smuggling went on at that time.
And what would one of these patrols be like? Describe it.
It was just a couple of guys just with pickhells. We weren't armed, just pickhells, and we patrolled. It was just mainly to spot. If we spotted anything, where it would report straight back to the guard room if we saw anything suspicious. Because obviously we didn't want to have any shooting matches with the Spaniards.
Did you ever see anything suspicious when you were on patrol?
Not until I went on. Now, to let you understand, at night time, we mounted a full guard at night time.